We're going to start page Tes Samed Aleph in your Gemara. It's 9A2. Tes Samed Aleph.
Means it's on page
9, 17. Okay, we're in the middle of a Gemara, so just to review a little bit outside at least the Gemara until now. In the Mishnah there was a din. There's a Ger Teshev. A Ger Teshev is a guy who accepts the seven mitzvahs, you know, in front of a bezdin, and therefore he's granted certain rights as a guy. But basically, so in the Mishnah there was a din that a Ger Teshev who kills a Jew does not go into Golus, and a Jew who kills a Ger Teshev does not go into Golus. Okay, that's what the Mishnah said. And then the Gemara asked a question, but at the end it says Ger Teshev Goylai Dei Ger Teshev, which means a Ger Teshev does get killed, I mean go into Golus for killing a Ger Teshev. And the Gemara started going into various answers. One is a Ger Teshev who killed a Jew, one is a Ger Teshev that kills another Ger Teshev, which means the way the Gemara answered initially, if a Ger Teshev kills a Jew, he doesn't go into Golus, because Golus is not enough of a forgiveness for him, because he did such a terrible thing, he killed a Jew. But if a Ger Teshev kills another Ger Teshev, then excuse me, he can go into Golus. And then the Gemara asks a question. It says a Ger Eved Kochavim that killed get killed. So a Ger has to be like a Eved Kochavim. Just like a guy, if he kills, there's no difference if he killed a Jew or a guy. So Ger Teshev, there shouldn't be any difference if he killed a Jew or a guy. I'm just getting leaning into the Gemara. So the Gemara answers, there's a difference if he killed him going up or going down. Now it says as follows. If he kills him going down, where a Jew goes into Golus, meaning, if a Jew comes down the ladder and kills a Jew, the Jew goes into Golus. So then, a Ger Teshev, who kills a Ger Teshev coming down, goes into Golus. If he kills a Jew. If a Ger Teshev kills a Jew coming down, he goes into Golus. But, if a Jew kills somebody going up, the Jew doesn't go into Golus. So then, a Ger Teshev would get killed. Okay, that's what the Gemara asks. So the Amalei Rava, this is where we're up to now. Amalei Rava, it's like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines at the bottom of the page. And the top is Tes. Okay, 16 lines in the bottom of the page. Amalei Rava, Rava said to Rav Chista, V'lav kavachemehu. Is it not a kavachemehu? What does it mean? If a Jew coming down goes into Golus, so therefore it's enough for the Ger Teshev who kills a Jew to go into Golus. So you're saying derech aliyah, if it's going upward, the Yisrael potter, if a Jew kills another Jew accidentally, he's potter. You're going to kill the guy. Rabbi asks a very simple answer, the question. Let's just understand the din for a second. If a Jew comes down the ladder and kills another Jew, he has to go into Golus. If a Jew goes up, is an upward motion and kills a Jew, he doesn't even have to go into Golus. Okay? Which means, which one of the two is worse? Coming down is worse than going up. Because coming down, the Jew, if he kills somebody, has to go to Golus. And if he goes up and kills a person, nothing happens to him. Right? That means killing somebody going down is stricter than killing somebody going up. So he says, so therefore you're telling me that if a Ger Teshev, a Ger, kills a Jew coming down, he goes into Golus. But if he kills a Jew going up, he gets killed. That doesn't make sense. If down is worse than up, how could down he go into Golus and up he gets killed? It doesn't make sense. So the Gemara is now going into a whole new concept. Ela Merava Rava said as follows. Ba'emer Mutter. When the guy thought it's okay to kill. Meaning, There's a concept, and we're going to see the various opinions now in the Gemara. It's a very simple concept. If somebody thinks you're allowed to do something, should you be punished for it or not?
If somebody thinks
they're allowed to do something.
On Shabbos, they think.
Or on Shabbos, you thought you're allowed to do something. Or in this case, is the guy thought you're allowed to kill another person.
Usually, you have to just bring a korban, not.
So the Gemara is going to ask now, discuss now, is that called intentional, mazid, or is that called accidental?
You don't know.
Why don't you go learn? The Gemara is answering as follows. Rava says, it's speaking the Ger Teishav, thought that you're allowed to kill another person, that's why he killed them. That's when Rava says he gets killed. That means Rava says very simple. If a Ger Toshav kills a Jew accidentally, he goes to the city of refuge. One place it says he gets killed. Because they're trying to answer a contradiction. One place it says if he killed a Jew, he gets killed. Another place it says if he killed a Jew, he goes to the city of refuge. So how do you reconcile?
On purpose.
Huh?
Maybe he's talking about when he did it on purpose.
No, because then that's for sure. If he kills him intentionally, for sure he gets killed. That we know. So it's speaking in a case when the guy thought you're allowed to kill somebody. So Amale Abaya says, so what do you mean he gets killed? Amen Mutter, Abaya says to him, if a guy thinks you're allowed to do it, Anasu is considered accidental. So why are you telling me he gets killed? It's accidental if a guy thinks you're allowed to do it. Amale said, other answers, no. Shani Amir, because I say, Amen Mutter, if a guy says, I thought you're allowed to do it, Kardav Lamezid, who it's considered intentional. And this is the argument of the Gemara that the Gemara is going to elaborate on now a little bit. Very simple. If a guy thinks you're allowed to kill somebody, and he kills him, is that considered intentional or accidental? Rava says it's considered intentional. Therefore, if a Ger Teishav thought that you're allowed to kill a Jew, and he kills him, he gets killed. Abaye said, what do you mean? That's accidental. He thought you're allowed to do it.
Like for self-defense?
No, self-defense, you're allowed to kill anybody.
Yeah.
But you can kill another Jew in self-defense.
So the Goy thinks it's okay to kill somebody.
Right. Rava says, what do you mean? Go learn and find out you're not allowed to. I'll give you an example, not by our Gemara. You mentioned before about bringing a korban, yeah? If somebody doesn't know you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. Somebody thinks you're allowed to cook on Shabbos. And he cooks. That is considered, according to Halacha, accidental. That's not called intentional. He doesn't get stoned. He thought you're allowed to do it. It's called accidental. So what does he have to do? He has to bring a korban. He doesn't get killed. The question over here, that everybody agrees on. The question over here is, by murder does such a concept apply? Our Rava says, if a guy says you're allowed to do murder, he's called mazid, he's called intentional, and the Ger Teishev would get killed. Abaye says, what are you talking about? That's accidental. If it's accidental, then why should he get killed? It's called accidental. Let him go to Golis. So Rava says, no. If a guy says you're allowed to do it, it's intentional. And the Gemara says an interesting thing. Va'azdu l'tamayu, Rav Chista and Rava go according to their own argument in a different place. What do we find? It says, the Idma, we learned in Aloch is following. Kesavir Behema Venimsa Adam. It's speaking not about a Jew. It's speaking about this Ger Teishev. Again, a guy who accepts the seven mitzvahs, yeah? What happens if a guy, this religious guy, yeah? This Ger Teishev, thinks there's an animal over there. And he shoots him. And it ends up to be a person. Or, Kanani, he thought it was a guy. Venims Ger Teishev, and it came out to be another Ger Teishev. Okay, you're not allowed to kill anybody. But basically, he didn't think he was going to get killed for such a crime. He thought he's killing a guy, and he ended up killing another religious Ger Teishev. So what's the din? So Rava Amar Chayev. Rava says, in these two cases, the Ger Teishev gets killed. That means it's an interesting concept. He thought it was an animal, and it came up to be a person. He gets killed for killing the person. He thought he's allowed to shoot the gun, because it was only an animal. But you should have found out what you're shooting before you did it. Or you thought it's an idol worshipper, and you ended up killing a religious guy. You should have found out. Rava says you're chayiv. Chayiv misen. Why? Because amen mutter. Because when a person thinks what he's doing is allowed, and it's really forbidden, mazid hu, it's called mazid, and he gets killed. Rav Chista says in both cases, mutter ein potter. He doesn't get killed. Why? Because amen mutter, because a guy thinks so what he's doing is permissible, honestly is considered accidental. So therefore, if he thought he's shooting an animal, and he ended up shooting a person instead, Rav Chista says he doesn't get killed. Rava says he would get killed. So that's the same thing of what we just learned. When a guy thinks you're allowed to do something that you're not allowed to, is that called intentional or accidental? Rava says it's called intentional, and Rav Chista says it's called accidental. So the Gemara says, Eisvei Rava l'Rav Chista. Rava said to Rav Chista, I'll ask you a question that proves that when a guy thought you're allowed to do something, it's called intentional. What's the case? Because it's a story as follows. Avimelech, you know, when Avram Avinu came down to Egypt, and then later he came down to Plishtim. And Avram Avinu tells Sarah, do me a favor, please say I'm your sister, I'm your brother. Why? Because they're going to kill me. Because they're going to want to marry you, you're very beautiful, and they're going to kill me. So please say you're my sister. Okay? What happened? Avram says she's my sister. Sarah says I'm his sister. Avimelech takes her. Yeah? God comes to Avimelech in the middle of the night and says, you're dying for the woman you took. Now, Avimelech thought you're allowed to. He thought it was a sister. Right? The truth is, it wasn't a sister, it was his wife. Yet Hashem said, you're going to die. So what do you see from there? That if somebody does something that he thinks is permissible, and it's forbidden, you get killed.
What about if somebody thinks something is permissible, and it turns out not to be kosher?
That's exactly the case.
But it seems to me
that's the case, this argument.
That he did his due diligence. His own brother came and said, he's my sister.
One second, but the Gemara's not finished it. One second. And nevertheless, what did God tell him? You're going to die because you took this married woman. Right? Now, the question is, can you blame Avimelech? She said, I'm a sister. She said, I'm not married. Right? Avram said she's not married. Everybody says she's not married. So from his perspective, did he do anything wrong? No. But factually, did he take a married woman? Yes. Right? So what do you see from there? Clearly, that if you think something is allowed and it's not, even if you did due diligence, you did the research, Avimelech did research, obviously, right? Nevertheless, he's going to die.
Isn't that what Rav says?
Huh? So that's what Rav is asking Rav Chista, right? Because Rav Chista says, you're potter. So Rav says to Rav Chista, let's see it inside. Eitzir olav Rav Chista, Hashem said to him, you're going to die for the woman you took, right? Because she's a married woman. Now, my love, bideyodah, mistamit means that Avimelech is going to die in the physical courts, in the human courts. Right? So Gemara says, no, bidey shemayim. It means Hashem's court, and Hashem judges stricter. Meaning as follows. In the earthly courts, Rav Chista says, the truth is, Avimelech wouldn't have gotten killed. He didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. From his perspective, he didn't do anything wrong. Right. But in the heavenly courts, they're stricter, and Hashem says, I'll punish you in heaven for what you did. And the Gemara says, Deikanam, I'll even prove it to you, the Gemara says, because it says, Mechatoili, Hashem said, I protected you from sinning to me, meaning a heavenly sin, not an earthly sin, a heavenly sin.
But that wasn't a heavenly sin, taking sorrow.
No, but I'm saying that only God would hold them accountable, and not the human courts. You know, that's what the Gemara is saying. Only God would hold them accountable, but not the earthly courts. There's many laws in Halacha. It says, Pata Medine Adam, courts can't obligate you, but the heavenly court obligates you. What does it mean the heavenly court obligates you? If you want to have a clean record upstairs, pay it up. Okay, for instance, if a case of the Gemara is in Bava Kamma, in Hakainis, I have a document that you owe me $1,000. Right? I have the document, you owe me $1,000. He comes and rips up the document. He rips up the document. Did he damage you $1,000? I mean, me, I'm sorry. I have the. Did he damage me $1,000 because now I can't collect it? It's indirect. He didn't take $1,000 of mine and tear it up and break $1,000 of mine. He just indirectly caused that I have no proof to collect the money. Right? So can Beis Din obligate him to pay the $1,000? No. You want to have a clean record upstairs, you better pay the $1,000. But the earthly court can't obligate you to pay.
Hashem said that's the way the din is.
But this is not a good analogy. This is not what he's doing. You know,
One second. What?
This is not what's going on between Abimelech. He did his due diligence. He found out that the woman. What else can a guy do? Where is this?
The Gemara is going to answer your question. The Gemara is going to answer your question. And basically, the Gemara is going to say, Avraham Avinu said to him, a man and lady come to the city, you're already asking about her. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing you ask. You know what I mean? Take it easy. So Avimelech was wrong for already asking. She married, not married. It's not the first thing you're supposed to do. Okay. Now the Gemara says, but the Gemara asks on Rava, it says as follows. This is speaking what?
But if that's the way Hashem said the din is, then why?
Yeah, but Hashem says the courts. No. Hashem says the courts can't make you pay. But what's called Lotzi Sidei
Shemaim? They can't, and Hashem has to do what he says.
No, Hashem says, listen, I can't make you pay, but the right thing to do is to pay. I can't make you pay. Right? But the right thing is that you should pay. So Mary says, "Oh, time according to your reason." It says in the pasuk as follows: when Potiphar's wife started up with Yosef, yeah, and Yosef said to her, "I can't because chatasi lalekim, I'm going to be sinning to God," mm-hmm. Right? That's what he said. I'm going to be sinning to God. How could I do such a thing? So the Gemara asks, V'chatasi lelukim v'leila adam. He's not sinning to man. Adultery is between man to man also. Eladin emasal adam, what it means is, his din is given over to person. Hachanami, the same thing over here, it means, din emasal adam, the judgment is given over to human courts. But the Gemara answers that, as far as Rav Chista was concerned, Rav Chista answers, God would not kill him. I'm sorry, the courts would not kill him. He's liable to Hashem. And Rava learns, no. That even though it's a sin to God, but the courts would be able to kill Avimelech. The fact is Avimelech didn't live with her. Okay, bottom line, the Torah says he didn't touch her. God didn't let him touch her. But if he would have touched her, according to Rava, he would have gotten killed in the physical courts. He thought she was allowed. Bottom line is he didn't aveir. I'll give you another simple example. I'll give you another physical example. I once had this out with somebody. If there's a container here, this bottle is water. It says water, yeah? Water. What happens if somebody puts white poison, colorless poison in this bottle? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And you look at the bottle, you say mountain spring water, OU. It's kosher, no question. And you drink the bottle. Mm-hmm. And it happens to be poison. And you did due diligence, you checked it out, and you made sure it's water, not poison. Bottom line is, it was poison and you drank it. You drank it. Yeah? Is the guy going to die or not?
Probably.
The question is, but he did due diligence, he checked it out, and he was told by 30 kosher witnesses that this is water, not poison. Yeah?
Civil courts can't enforce that.
But who's going to die? I'm saying the guy still committed a sin, even though he thought you're allowed to. But the bottom line, even though the guy thought it's water, not poison, but bottom line is, he drank it and he's going to die.
We're talking about the punishment in Shemayim. This is punishment right here.
I know, but the bottom line is, what that opinion says, number one, like Tasis explains, you should have gone to learn. Number one. Okay? Don't think something is permissible, find out. In Avimelech's case, the truth is, it's better than a normal case. Even though the truth of the matter is, the case when the guy thought it was an animal, he's hunting in a field, yeah? And he sees an animal going, yeah? And he thinks it's an animal. It's on all four, yeah? He sees something crawling on all four, and he thinks it's like an animal. And he shoots the arrow at a gun, and it happened to be a person crawling on all four. Yeah? Over there, you can't even say he should have gone to learn that it's forbidden. What do you expect him to do? What do you expect him to do? And even then, Rava says you'd still be chayef. Why? The bottom line is, you killed a person. And you knew what you were doing. You just didn't think it was a person. If a guy's coming down a ladder, okay, and he trips, he didn't plan to trip, he didn't expect to trip, he didn't want to trip, that's called accident. But if I'm shooting a gun, and I know I'm shooting a gun, and it happens to be a person instead of an animal, Rava says that is almost intentional. Obviously it's not as bad as taking a gun and shooting a guy, but if you know what you're shooting, you know you're shooting, and you're aiming and you're shooting, and it happens to be an animal, it's called Yechayiv.
Happens to be a person.
Yechayiv, according to Rava. Okay, Eis v'yabai l'Rava.
Melech is like Rav.
Huh? For Pashtus.
Is Rava saying because you're not 100% sure you're Chayiv? Why is he saying that?
Why?
That he should have gone closer.
Tyson says, Hayulay Lilmaid, or he should have looked better into what he's shooting. You know, when somebody hurts somebody and they say, I'm sorry, and the guy says, I'm sorry, doesn't help, I'm still hurt. You know what I mean? You should have done better research in what you're shooting. Now, obviously, L'chayra, what happens if a guy's shooting an animal? Okay, even according to Rava. Rava says in the Gemara, if a guy shoots an animal that happens to be a person, that's intentional, or close to intentional, yeah? What happens if a guy's shooting an animal, and there's taka an animal, and he's taka shooting an animal, and all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, a person jumps into the way and gets killed? Rava is not going to say that's intentional. No, because he knew what he was shooting, and he was shooting an animal, and it was an animal. The person happened to dart in the way, that's not his fault.
Does he have to run to Hermikla?
Yeah.
But a Gertation is not a Hermikla, it's not
right.
Going.
Well,
yeah,
it says Gertation of Gailu.
Public domain.
Yeah.
Huh?
It was public domain. So So if he was shooting the gun, he's still responsible.
Right. But I'm saying in a private...
What if it wasn't his thing?
His what?
His yard.
No, if it's in a forest, let's say.
Forest.
No, but if the guy was shooting an animal and the guy jumped in to his yard.
Then he's potter. Then he's potter.
For going is not any potter.
Huh?
It's only the way so.
Yeah, but it says Gertesha Gerla, the Gertesha.
Yeah.
Okay, so now the Gemara asks, Esi Abaya the Rava. So Abaya asks another question to Rava. You, Rava, say that a guy who kills somebody thinking you're allowed to is called Mazid, intentional. So he says, it says in the Pasik, Avimelech said to God, Hashem said to him, you're going to die. Right? What did Avimelech say? Hagoy gam tzadik tarik. Are you going to kill a person even though he's innocent? What did Avimelech answer back? I'm innocent. Right? Because he didn't think that she's his wife. He thought she's the sister. So what do you see from there? That Avimelech was innocent. Because what did Avimelech say to God? You're killing an innocent person.
Just because he says it makes it innocent?
But the Torah says it. The fact that the Torah quotes it shows there's validity to it. So Gemara says, 1 minute, over there is different. Rava says, Hasim could have come Mahadra Lui. Over there is as the Pasuk itself says. What does it mean?
Oh.
Meaning as follows. Hashem didn't admit to him that you're right, that you're innocent. See, if Hashem would have said to him, yeah, you're right, that would prove he's innocent. But the Gemara says, Hashem didn't tell him you're innocent. Avimelech said to God, I'm innocent. What did Hashem said? No. Hashem said, "Va'ata now, Hoshev Eishes Ha'ish, return the wife of the man Kinavihu because he's a prophet." Yeah, and then the pasuk continues, "He'll pray for you," which implies the only reason you should return her because he's a prophet. But if he's not a prophet, you don't have to return her. Like the Gemara says, "Eishes Navihu the Ta'adar," only if because she's a wife of a prophet. The Lav Navi, but if he's not a prophet, like that, you don't have to give it back. What does it mean? In other words, what's the pasuk mean? It doesn't make sense.
He'll forgive you, maybe.
It says more. Al-Kud Amir Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, like Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni said, to Amir Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amir Rabbi Enison, Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni said, in the name of Rabbi Enison, Hachi Ka'amel, this is what Hashem said to Avimelech. V'yata Hoshev Eishis Yish Mikamokim. You return the woman, period. You know, we read the pasuk wrong before, so to speak. It says in the pasuk, return the wife because he's a Navi. So he says, no. First, return the wife. Period. Give her back. And now that you said you're innocent, now that you're saying you're innocent, so Hashem says, no. This is what it means. You asked that you're innocent. Hashem said, because you said that she's my sister, so I'm innocent. He said, no. Navi who is a Navi, and therefore he has deeper insight. He learned it from you. Meaning, Avram Avinu said to Avimelech the following. When a guest comes into the city, what should be the first question? Do you have a place to eat? Do you have a place to sleep? Do you have a first, who's this woman? You know, he said, you're guilty from the beginning. Why? Because your attitude was no good. He says, "Al iske achilu shtir shela nesi." The first thing you ask a person: do you have a place to eat? Do you have a place to drink? Klum shela nesi ish tuchiyacha ischehi is the first thing you ask a woman: are you married or single? You know, a lady walks in. Hey, are you married or single? First thing you do: you have a place to stay. You have food. You know, mikan sheben neirach nerak. From here, we see, according to Rava, that a ben neirach a guy is killed for committing an offense that he thought is allowed. Why? He should have gone to learn and he didn't learn. It seems that only a guy is like that.
One of the seven laws is not to commit adultery.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And therefore, in fact, Rashi Taka says it's by a ben noach. Meaning, by a guy, ignorance of the law is not a reason to get out of the law. Out of punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And a Jew?
A Jew, it's very possible he would.
Mm-hmm. He'd kill somebody and say, I didn't know, and then...
No, we're not talking about that. But like you said, if a Jew thought the food was kosher and ate it, he doesn't get... I mean, if a Jew thought you're allowed to do something on Shabbos, and he did it, you don't get killed.
That's halacha.
Yeah. That's shaygig. It's called accidental.
Right. Or the goy gets killed.
A goy would get killed.
Right. Brings down here, asarosam, hazoy mitosam.
It's the same as abortion by goy, doctor, or Jewish doctor.
Yeah, but yeah, they have... Listen, there's another thing. The Gemara seems to imply that this is only by Eimer Mutter, is by a guy. It seems it's only speaking by a guy, not by a Jew. In fact, it's, look in the Tesis. It's very interesting. He says, that's not what Taisus says, but what the last line, where the Taisus, look on page Tesamid Aleph again. Yeah, look, Tesamid Aleph. The second Taisus from the end says, Eladine Masal Adam. Okay? Look at the last three words of Taisus. Kach Nira Le Mashiach. So it appears to Mashiach. Taisus sometimes quotes Mashiach. Who exactly it is, whoever. But there was probably somebody from Taisus, and it's called Kach Nira Le Mashiach. So it appears to Mashiach. Remember. You find it a few times in Shas.
Infinite wisdom.
Whatever. It's interesting though that Taisus just says Kach Nira Le Mashiach. See, Taisus is also Chabadnik. Hello.
Yeah,
leave the Mashiach.
That's what you keep telling me. Except the one, except the place on Dohini and
Okay. Next Mishnah. Next Mishnah. It's a very simple Gemara coming up. Does a blind man who kills somebody accidentally go to Golus or not? So we're going to see. The Mishnah says as follows: Hasuma ain't a geila.
It's not his fault.
It's accidental.
But it's not his fault.
So
Hashem created him.
Oh, it's not his fault that he's blind. But the question is, if he kills somebody, does he? Oh, by the way, one more detail before we go into the next Mishnah. Goyim in their seven mitzvahs have a stricter punishment than Jews. And that's why by Goyim, according to Rava, which is the Halacha, that if the Goy thinks he's allowed to do it and does it, he gets killed anyway. Okay? Now, Goyim have seven mitzvahs, which really branch off into 20-something, but the seven basic fundamental mitzvahs. One of them, for instance, is stealing. One of them is eating a live limb off an animal. One is setting up a court system. Okay? If a Goy steals, he gets killed. When Beis Din had the authority in Israel over the Goyim that lived in Israel, if a guy in Israel stole anything, just stole a book, a dollar.
Did he have to be proven just like a Yid?
Well, yeah, the Rambam says one witness and who the witnesses are and so on.
Only one witness.
Yeah, by a guy one witness is enough.
And 3 seconds.
No, he doesn't need warning. If a guy steals, he gets killed. That's why if a guy thinks you're allowed to, obviously he wasn't warned, because if he was warned, then he would know you're not allowed to, right? Mm-hmm. So speaking by guy, you don't need warning. Taisus says clearly a guy doesn't have to be warned. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Rambam says a guy doesn't have to be warned. Well, the Gemara is going to talk later in Marcus about why you need warning to differentiate. In fact, we'll see in the next Mishnah. One opinion says a scholar doesn't need warning to get killed, because the whole purpose of warning is to know if the guy meant it intentionally or accidental. So if you warn him, you know that it's intentional, yeah? A scholar knows anyway. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't need to be warned, according to one opinion. The halacha is not like that. The halacha is even a scholar needs to be warned. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, a guy has stricter punishments than a Jew. If a guy steals, he gets killed. If a Jew steals, he doesn't get killed. If a guy eats a live limb off an animal, even menachai, he gets killed. If a Jew eats even menachai, he gets malchus. He doesn't get killed. And the same thing, if a Jew is accidental, he thought you're allowed to do it, he doesn't get killed.
Is it eating a live fish?
No. But we just learned in the Rambam.
You take it out, because
yeah.
I understand that, but if it's in water and they drink it.
Technically, it would also be considered, because in your mouth, you're taking it out of the water already. Mm-hmm. And that's those bugs, you know, the grasshoppers, the Moroccans used to eat. They know which ones were kosher grasshoppers, which ones weren't.
Right.
You don't have to shech them.
Right. But they're not in the water.
You eat it.
Yeah, but the Rambam says he brings a pasuk that you don't need to shech the grasshoppers.
Only if it's chocolate covered.
Yeah. Then you shech the chocolate.
You can't eat them alive, can you? Yeah.
Huh?
Do you eat them alive?
Yeah. What?
Azarosim
zaymitosim. Yeah, in the pasuk. What?
Grasshoppers are kosher?
Some of them.
What do you mean some of them?
No, there are different variations of grasshoppers. Some are kosher. I'm not joking. Seriously.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
The Moroccans, and the from Moroccans will tell you that Morocco, they used to eat grasshoppers. And it was a delicacy.
Okay. How do you know which ones are not?
They knew which ones were kosher, which ones weren't. Tradition.
So in other words, you see a grasshopper crawling over here, you don't know what's kosher or not.
Correct. Yeah. We don't know, Taka.
You ask his family then.
Okay.
You see a guy to the grasshopper, you say, Yankel. If he turns around, you know he's kosher. Okay.
Right.
Now the Mishnah says, Asume negela divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, God forbid, if a blind person kills somebody accidentally, he does not go to Ari Miklat. He's free. That's it. Rav Meir says, Gaila, he does go into Golos. Rav Meir says he has to go into Golos. Next thing is, Hasein Eina Gaila. This is an interesting din. If a guy hates somebody else and accidentally kills him, he doesn't go to Golos. He gets killed. Huh?
How is that?
Because we assume that he wanted to do it. He hates him. 1 minute. Rabbi Yossi Yemer, we're not finished yet. Rabbi Yossi says, Haseini Nerag. He gets killed. Why? Because he's already forewarned. Meaning as follows. The first Tana says he doesn't go into Golus, but he doesn't get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not accidental, but it's not intentional either. Rabbi Yossi says it's always intentional. Rabbi Shimon says interesting. He makes a compromise. Yesh sein geila. Sometimes an enemy who kills his enemy gets killed. I mean galus. V'yesh sein shein geila. Sometimes you don't. He says, what's the rule? If you can say that he did it intentionally, then he gets killed. But if you can assume that he didn't kill him intentionally, the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what?
He's blind. How could he?
No, this is not the blind. There's two different cases. The first case in the Mishnah is a blind person. One opinion says he goes into Golus. One opinion says, first of all, blind people also have enemies.
No, but they don't know if they're killing him.
They can know.
How could a blind person kill someone on
purpose? If they're wrestling each other,
come on.
Somebody's wrestling.
Why? If a blind person is told that your friend's right in front of you, he takes out a gun and shoots him. Why can't he do it?
Oh, you just move away.
He didn't have a chance and he killed him. You know what? A lot of the big terrorists that blew up a lot of people were blind. It's one sheikh.
Yeah.
Sheikh who there was... guilty for killing how many people?
Yeah.
Remember the guy in New Jersey, he was blind.
He's one of the guys who ordered all the Trayson.
Yeah, but he actually killed people too.
He did?
Yeah. Well, blind people can't kill. Sure they could.
They have senses.
It's hard.
It's hard, but it's possible.
They brought the person.
What happened to a blind person is driving a car and he bangs into something? Kills him. Excuse me. Okay, then there's three opinions about an enemy. The first opinion says he doesn't go into Golus, but he doesn't get killed. Rabbi Yossi says an enemy always gets killed. There's no Golus for an enemy. Rabbi Shimon says it depends. If it's possible to think he did it willingly, then he gets killed. If it's possible to say he didn't do it willingly, and the Gemara is going to explain, I'll give you an example. The guy is letting down a pail of water, okay? And the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to discuss this soon. There's two possibilities. He's letting down the thing of water, and the rope snaps and breaks, and the pail falls down on top of somebody and kills him. Then you could say it was done accidental. But if the guy was letting it down and it slipped out of his hand and it killed somebody, then you could say he meant it. Because it's very possible he bemazed, let go of it out of his hands and it killed somebody.
Could be not.
Right. So then if he's an enemy, we say he meant it. But if it's impossible to say that he meant it, for instance, the string all of a sudden broke, then you know, he can't
say. He made sure to bring a loosened thing.
No, that's good.
He has to be warned
the
doing this? He has to be warned while doing this?
The what?
While he's letting go of the rope, he has to be warned?
No, we'll soon see in the Gemara if he needs to be warned or not.
That's weird. We go out of our way and not to kill anyone. And
the Gemara is going to ask a question. The Gemara is going to ask, but they didn't warn him. How can you say an enemy gets killed? They didn't warn him. Hmm. And the Gemara says he's already warned.
Okay.
Because he hates him, he's considered warned already. Because we...
So if you kill somebody you hate intentionally, you don't have to be warned?
No. According to Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, you don't have to. According to the Gemara,
right,
explaining our Mishnah, you talk, not everybody agrees with that. Right. But according to the Gemara, explains the Mishnah, yeah, you don't have to. Just like we said, the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to be warned. The question is, why does a person have to be warned to get killed? To commit a sin that gets you capital punishment. To be Mechalo Shabbos. Right? If somebody was warned and intentionally desecrates Shabbos, he gets killed. Yeah? If he wasn't warned, he doesn't. What's the purpose of warning?
Make sure he knows wrong.
So one opinion says, the only purpose of warning is to know if a guy was accidental or definite. So Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore a scholar doesn't need to be warned. Because he knows he's not allowed to do it. And therefore even if he's not warned, he would get killed for desecrating Shabbos, let's say. The Chachamim argue, and they say that's not the only reason of warning. Part of the process of killing is you need witnesses. Part of the process of killing is you need to be warned. No warning, he doesn't get killed. Not because he needs to know if it's wrong or right. You need to be warned as part of the process. Mm-hmm. That's it. Just like many times, witnesses are part of the process, warning is part of the process. So the Mishnah is going to hold that an enemy doesn't need to be warned. Well, he has to be warned, don't kill the guy. He wants to kill him anyway. He knows he wants to kill him. So it's a different story.
Maybe he didn't know.
He didn't know that what?
That you can't kill.
You didn't know you can't kill?
Yeah, you just said in the Gemara.
That's by a Ben Nayach. He didn't know who you're not allowed to kill. If a guy goes through a red light and says to the police, to the camera that takes a picture of him, I didn't know you're not allowed to. Yeah, you're going to get off?
Depends on his opinion.
You know what those tickets are?
I know.
300.
270.
Raised. Yeah. How much you know? 270?
300.
300.
Inflation.
Now, I get a ticket, but that's what I'm in the paper.
It's like, if
no,
it's
I always put my wind visor down when it's a Shiloh.
It's like a guy, a kid in class, this you'll understand better, throws something at the teacher in the middle of class, just takes him and throws it at the teacher, then he says, I didn't know you're not allowed to do that. Yeah? Were you ever told in school you're not allowed to throw things at a teacher?
No.
So why can't a kid come along and say, I never was told you can't? You think the principal's going to accept that?
No.
I thought that is acceptable for a Jew.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. Is the principal going to accept it? Why not? Because simple things you're supposed to know. You're supposed to know those simple things. Mm-hmm. You can't come along and say, I didn't know you're not allowed to. I didn't know you're not allowed to kill somebody.
Unless it was accidental.
Right, but that's a different story.
Like throwing one of those rockets in the air accidentally hits the teacher.
You're going to throw a rock at a kid, and the principal happens to walk in and gets hit. Okay.
It brings down over here.
What?
If you threw a lethal stone into her, she said, I'm going to kill someone.
Yeah, but that's because of lethal.
What?
Okay, yeah. Of course, no, because that's the Gemara before.
It's a shege karl amazid.
Because you should know that in the street there's going to be people.
Right.
Okay.
But he doesn't greatly because he can't have it as kapara.
Right, but that's by yayid.
If the Gemara Adam kills him, it's he's not high.
Right.
But the Chachim not to kill him.
Okay, try to tell him not to do it anyway. By the way, what's the definition of an enemy?
Someone
there. So an enemy is defined in halacha that you didn't speak to the guy 3 days because you're in a fight.
Because you're in a fight.
Right. Because of enmity. Meaning because of the fight, you didn't speak to him for 3 days.
So he's an enemy after that?
Until you make up with him, you have a din of an enemy.
Or 3 days.
Because that's the time, it's a chazakah. Okay, so now the Gemara says, what's the source of the argument if a blind person goes to Ari Miklat or not? Right? I mean, what's the... So the Gemara explains like this. Tan Rabban, the Rabbanan says, learned as follows. It says in the Torah, that if somebody killed somebody belayda eis without seeing, Torah says he killed somebody without seeing. What does that mean? If you just learn the way the Torah works, is belayda eis means normally you see, but now you didn't see. Right. So the question is, so the Gemara said prat l'sum that excuse the blind person David and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda says the fact that the Torah says the guy didn't see, meaning normally he does see, excludes a blind person from going to Golus. The Meir Eimer B'loy Ra'eis includes a blind person. Rabbi Yehuda says B'loy Ra'eis excludes a blind person. He says it includes a blind person. What does it mean? So Gemara says as follows. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Because it says as follows. Kasha Yave Esreyeo Bayar. If your friend will come into, now, again, there's what we learned already, klalu pratu klal. General rules, details, general details, or whatever it is. The Torah says, a guy that comes into the forest, that means any guy that comes into the forest, blind, not blind, whoever does it, a guy comes into the forest, the Torah is talking about him. Then it says, Beleira Ace, then it says, but you didn't see, excludes a blind person. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. B'lay Ra'is excludes a blind person. Why? Because it starts off with a general rule, and then the Torah makes an exclusion. B'lay Ra'is. What does it exclude? A guy that can't see. The Meir says no. B'lay Ra'is, you're right, is a miut, a exclusion. But right afterwards the Torah says, Bivli Das, without awareness. A blind person is also not aware. So there's two negatives, ein miut, acher miut, a double exclusion includes. There's a double negative is a positive. Double exclusion includes.
Mm-hmm. A blind person that...
It says, doesn't see and is unaware. Now, doesn't see excludes the blind person, unaware excludes the blind person. So double exclusion of a blind person includes him. So the mayor says a blind person is included, not excluded. Rabbi Yehuda emits, but the question is, so why according to Rabbi Yehuda is it not a double exclusion? So he says, because it says in the Pasuk, Bivli Das, Prat L'Miskaven Udi Aseh, it's coming to exclude a person who did it unintentionally. I'm sorry. Perhaps the misgavin udas is coming to exclude a person that did it intentionally. So it's not a double exclusion for a blind person. The mayor says it's a double exclusion. So therefore, blind excluded twice includes blind. Rabbi Yehuda says no, it doesn't come doubly excluding blind. Bulei ra'is excludes a blind person. Einim miskaven, Rabbi Yehuda says, Belidas excludes intentional. So therefore, it's two different exclusions. A blind person is excluded, an intentional person is excluded. Which means if you kill somebody intentionally, you don't go to Ari Miklat. Or if a blind person kills somebody, Rabbi Yehuda says, you also don't go to Ari Miklat. Why? Because the Torah excludes you. Okay, now the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to ask you a question. Rabbi Yossi said in the Mishnah, an enemy gets killed. Right? If you kill an enemy, you get killed. But the Gemara says, v'le'asrabay, they didn't warn him. And the din is, in order to get killed, you need to be warned. So how can you say a statement that a person who killed somebody, an enemy, who kills his enemy, gets killed right away? He wasn't warned.
I said
the Gemara's answer already. So the Gemara answers, Masnis and Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehudihi. Our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. What does Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda say? The Tanya Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Chover ein etzorech hasra. A scholar doesn't need to be warned. Why? Because, like he says, Shleim nitna hasra. The whole person of warning, the purpose of warning is lahachim ben shegig lemezit, to differentiate between intentional and accidental, right? But a Talmud Chacham knows, an enemy, therefore if he kills his enemy, you don't need to be warned that he did it accidentally, you know he did it intentionally. Mm-hmm. In other words, I'm going to read over here what he says, and very interestingly, Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda says he does not consider a warning an absolute requirement for punishing a violator with death or malchus. Okay, now Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda says you need to know the guy did it intentionally, and most people need to be warned, but an enemy is already like self-warned. You know that he wanted to kill it. And therefore he says like this, in ordinary situations, a warning does two things. Number one, that he becomes aware of it, and he knows the Torah forbids him to do it.
That's not the same thing?
Huh? What? No. That the sinner was aware of the true circumstances, that he's shooting a person, not an animal.
Oh.
Secondly, that he knows the Torah forbids him. Okay? Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda says a scholar needs not to be warned because he knows that it's forbidden. Okay? Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda holds no warning is necessary by an enemy, since an enemy is assumed to have intent to kill the person he hates.
But the general rule of halacha is that...
And then, one second. Therefore, he learns, but the guy has to know that the Torah punishes you for it. So speak an enemy who's a scholar.
But
an enemy who's a scholar doesn't need to be warned. But
because of the other opinions that say that part of punishment is warning, so therefore the bottom line is you need warning in all cases. Right?
But the other opinion says you need warning as a part of the system.
Right.
Even if the guy says, I know.
So that's what we hold.
Right. Yeah, according to Allah, you need to be warned. Even if you're a scholar. And even if you hate the guy. Need to be warned because it's part of the process. Mm-hmm. It's not part of the process. He can't kill the guy. Okay.